Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Ah, doesn't that bring back memories? That's the theme song from the popular children's television series, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I note that for the two people who didn't recognize it. A show created and hosted by Fred Rogers. The show first aired in 1968 and ran for 33 years. 2 years after the last episode aired in 2001, Fred Rogers died of stomach cancer at the age of 74. Rogers and his show are remembered for their rare ability to speak directly to children about some very adult topics: death, racism, divorce, assassination. A documentary about Mr. Rogers titled, can you guess, Won't You Be My Neighbor?, was released in theaters earlier this month and is now playing. Joining us to talk about the legacy of Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is Paul Lally, the show's former director. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. A real pleasure, Evan. Hearing that music really brought me back.
Oh, me too. I mean, the show is part of my life, not as much as yours, but part of my life too. But tell us about your role on the show.
Well, I was the director and the writer for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that music, when it was playing like that, was playing live in the studio, and I had two cameras ready, and in Fred would come through the door, and we would be off and rolling. And for a second, while I was sitting here, I almost was in the control room again, saying, ready, ready, camera one, ready, dissolve, and dissolve to Fred, and in he'd come and sing. So it was a real treat to be really present with what some people called his Cary Grant period of his life, where he looked terrific, he was mobile, everybody knew who he was. This was in the early 80s, early 90s.
And what was it like working with the real Fred Rogers?
The real Fred Rogers was as real as you or me, and that was his great gift. Who you saw was who he was. He would talk to you the same way, very measured cadence and speech. But in his case, you realize, well, he was using more adult nouns and verbs, but he was a terrific guy.
I mean, the paradox of the show is that he has this very staid, very square kind of feel. And the set does, mm-hmm. too. And yet you took a radical approach toward connecting with kids. I mean, from the get-go, it's a show about the deep concerns that we sort of pretend kids don't face, but that they really do. Mm-hmm. You know, hatred, war, fear that they don't belong or they shouldn't have existed in the first place. I mean, how did you go about taking topics like that and making them relevant for children?
Well, Fred Rogers had very deep roots in early childhood education. And then it was a show based with very deep roots based on that. And the key issue in childhood is separation and return. Separation, being separate from something. It can be a child in a divorce. It can be a child's first day at school. It can be a child wetting his bed. The idea of being separated is key to anything that you watch on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Separation and then joining together.
Did you get pushback for the show from people who thought it was inappropriate, too sophisticated for kids?
A good question. Actually, not during when I was there or ever, frankly. Mostly because I believe, you know, you and I are adults here talking on a mic on a radio show. But we were children. We weren't born adults, for God's sake. You know, we popped out as little kids. And so I think any criticism toward Fred Rogers or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was very limited because people realized that the child in them was being touched. And that's why it tempered kind of reaction. Fred was on to a deeper truth that he was fearless in going after and projecting. And a very simple one is that people can like you exactly the way you are, and there's nobody in the world exactly like you. It's a wonderful, simple tenet, but he would pitch it, and the kids bought it.
Simple, both simple and profound, which seems to me magic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just to give people a taste for Mr. Rogers' remarkable mix of innocence and impact, I'm going to play a clip from him testifying before Congress and uttering words that helped ensure continued funding for PBS.
I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health.
I mean, it's a remarkable, both a remarkable thing to say when testifying in Congress and also a remarkable way to say it. Do you see anyone speaking like this today, Paul? Anyone to stepped in to fill Mr. Rogers' role as champion of the emotional needs of children?
Not yet. I think part of that reason is that the media now is diffused enough into social media, to cable, that back when Fred got started, you know, you had two or three channels. It was far more condensed. Now that it's diffused, that's I'd like to say that's the negative part. The positive part is that there are far more avenues for people to reach each other. I feel, and Fred, I think, would appreciate this, that people are assuming their own responsibility. They're not looking toward, like, not looking for a leader as much as they are looking inward to lead on their own. That might sound pontificating, but I think nowadays, with what's going on in social issues, that people, because of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, are able to take charge in their own way.
So you do feel some sense of lasting impact that the show has had?
Well, I think only success needs no explanations. And so to explain Fred is maybe the last 90 days here in America, having and watching people react to the various documentaries that have been produced, that he does have a lasting impact. And it's pretty astonishing. He's really speaking something. This is not, he didn't invent this concept of people liking you exactly where you are. He simply knew that to look into a camera lens, when he looked into that lens, he saw you, you know, and you felt seen. And I mean, to be seen by somebody is a very powerful connection. When children feel it, it's fabulous.
And Fred did have this ambition, right? He wasn't a guy who stumbled into a television show. He saw television at the sort of dawn of television and realized that there was an opportunity here. He's an ordained minister, and television was his ministry.
Yeah, exactly. And I've thought about a little bit more and more, certainly last month, about Fred's intention. He was as intentioned as anybody to make a difference, and mostly for the sake of children. And in his case, since you mentioned he was an ordained Presbyterian minister, there's a very famous quote that, you know, we can't be separated from the love of God. There's a biblical thing, neither height nor depth nor storm, you know, where the sense of not, we can't be separated. And I believe that Fred Rogers was able to make it even simpler by saying, nothing can separate us from love, period. Nothing. Even though it looks like it, we can't be. And I feel that is an invisible thread that connects you and me and the people listening to us talk. There is a thread that Fred identified, and you can call it a chord or whatever, and he knew how to play it like a master.
Something I want to ask you about is, from the show, the importance of, like, very clear transitions. You know, one of the hallmarks of the show is Mr. Rogers comes through the door, he changes out of his jacket into a sweater, he changes his work shoes for his sneakers, right? Every time it's going to happen the same way. The same thing when you go to the land of make-believe. You don't just cut to it. There's a trolley, and the trolley has to sort of travel from one space to the other. And I just wonder, like, how deliberate this was, all these transitions, and what that was about.
Fred believed certainly in the value of make-believe, but in order to get there, you couldn't. The trolley represents a dream, basically. If you can load in Freud or anybody on, but it is a dream sequence. And you need that going in and then coming out. You need a beginning and an end. And Fred was able to do that. And like feeding the fish,
putting
on his sneakers. These are transitions that happen in life. So does life and death. If you follow the subtlety of Fred Rogers.
What do you miss most about working on the show?
Oh, certainly the crew. I think anybody working in broadcasting, it's certainly a collective effort. Fred knew that more than anybody. He couldn't do what was a Dizzy Gillespie once said about Louis Armstrong, know him, know me. And it's a very classic saying about anybody in television, that they need a crew. And I miss that environment with people who worked for Fred. Most outrageously funny, clever, dedicated people you would least suspect would crowd into that in Studio A in WQED in Pittsburgh, and we would crank out a show. Adults had to make that show. Little kids couldn't do it, so there we were. We were serious as you could imagine. looking at a puppet and trying to figure out how to get Lady Elaine Fairchild to turn to the left a little bit more, you know, and Fred did the puppets. So it's that sort of environment of we're all hands on deck kind of thing. And I miss it. Who wouldn't?
Well, let's say you could get the crew back together and do one more episode, you know, based on current events. Is there a topic you watch the news. Is there a topic you think, gosh, I wish we could do a show about, I don't know, family
separation?
Oh, you bet.
Are you kidding? Please. Absolutely. I talked earlier when we were first speaking about we can't be separated. It's separated and returned. And there's a lot of separation going on today, both for children being separated, for adults, for your rights being separated, the sense of losing something and then getting it back again. And I think that would be one of the theme weeks that Fred would be doing in a second, that it would be called Separation and Return. In his case, he would call it going away and coming home. That would be the theme. And everything revolving around it, from neighborhood to make-believe to musicians to how people make things, would be rotated around going away and coming back. And the key part there is coming back. And he would go at it. And in a subtle way. So it wouldn't be hitting you over the head. Because kids, here's a Mike Ambrosino, who created Nova, he said, people hate to be taught, but they love to learn. And Fred was a master at that.
Well, I'm only sorry we won't get to see these new episodes. It's nice that we can see the old ones.
You bet.
And that there's a movie out now if you want to learn more about Mr. Rogers. But mostly I just enjoyed talking to you, Paul Lally. I like you just the way you are.
Hey, Evan, ditto right back to you.
That's Paul Lally, the former director of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Thanks for joining us. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, and Paris Alston, with help from Zoe Mitchell, Cassandra Sunt, and Eve Zukoff. Tim Skog is our technical director, and our executive director is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Evan Horowitz, and this is Radio Boston.